Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about creating strong, energetic boundaries. What are energetic archetypes? How easily can your spiritual body get permeated? Are you aware of other people's energy that might be in your space? Learn tips for creating healthy and strong energetic boundaries as we continue our month, focusing on growing into who you're meant to be. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode was inspired by a few things. Boundaries are so incredibly important. If you're sensitive, big-hearted, you can easily get your boundaries crossed. And it might be something that you can't easily navigate. I used to be a doormat. Before I started a lot of my studying, I wouldn't have thought of the energetic component of setting boundaries. And it's interesting how life works out. We have a guest today. I'm super excited. And I had my annual reading that I do with Judy, and we were talking about boundaries. And I'm like, you know what? I feel like my boundaries are pretty good, but it was energetic boundaries that were kind of had a neighbor sent us a email and said, just as are being harassed in our neighborhood, I feel like I'm losing my mind because I can't believe that adults do this incredibly passive aggressive stuff. Be hopefully out at as close to 2 years as possible. On Christmas Eve / Christmas Day, so at like 12:10 in the morning on Christmas Day, they come doing the slow roll. Now, if this was an episode of The Closer or any criminal like Law and Order, dun dun, they would be spraying the house with gunfire. And so they keep doing this to harass. But I thought, wow, if I set my energetic boundaries a little better, the situation should improve. So talk to Judy. And then meanwhile, I'm on Mara's newsletter list. And I was like, oh, I have to have you on for this topic. And it's a class that she had coming up. I wasn't able to attend, but I'm like, let's get you on the podcast. If you don't have boundaries, you can create physical clutter because you hold on to other people's stuff. And that's more common than you may think. I tell the story often because I think it's such a great illustration that when I was first starting my business, I had a client who did furniture restoration, and he had these huge armoires, three of them. And I said, well, what are these? Oh, I'm holding on to those from someone. Now, his whole area is set up for him to make his income, to make his living. And they had these three huge armoires. And it was more than just a physical clutter. It was a boundaries, not being able to say no. Emotional clutter can occur when you get upset or angry, when you do something you don't want to do. You can have unhealthy relationships if you can't draw that line on the sand. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to be talking a lot about Married at First Sight. We're still watching that. And again, just constantly fascinated by it and how people work. And it's been a great tool for us because we talk about things and have I ever done that? Do we need to be better? But if you don't have healthy boundaries, then you're not going to be in healthy relationships. And we all know someone who has not been in a healthy relationship. I know I have in the past, and I'm grateful for all the work I did because it allowed me to be a better version of myself and to continue to grow and to attract my awesome husband. If you don't have strong boundaries, they can cause health issues because if people are constantly crossing your boundaries, that can stress you out. And if you're holding those emotions in, again, that just creates stress. I believe I've shared the stat before, and it's probably gone up, and I should look. Something like 80 or 85% of all physical ailments and why people are going to the hospital are related to stress. You know, I had to have half my thyroid taken out at the end of last year, and I got immediately, okay, I know what's going on here from a spiritual and energetic perspective, and I need to speak up more. I need to stand up for myself. I have to have stronger boundaries. And this started, I first became aware of it 12 years ago. And at that time in thyroid medicine, they're like, eh, you don't have to worry about it until you're 80. Well, I found out it was precancerous. So I'm really grateful that we got it removed. I'm like, okay, I know what the lessons are here and I don't want to ever have to have surgery again. So I'm practicing standing up for myself more. As much as a court case stunk and doing all that, that was a huge deal to stand up for myself. Financial clutter. When you buy things that you don't have the money for, you go to just look at a car and then you've got the upgraded 60K version instead of your budget to 30K because you couldn't say, no, that's not what I want or what I need. And it creates spiritual clutter when you're living your life out of integrity. It allows you to get influenced too much by someone. That's what my personal book, I have two personal books I want to write, and that's going to be the focus on one. Currently, tentatively entitled Surviving Rosemary, I allowed someone to have way too much influence on me. Today, what's really cool is we're going to be looking at all of that, all of this, setting strong boundaries from an energetic perspective. No, saying no, because what if you say no, but you're really unsure? People are going to push back on that, right? They're going to come back at you. But if you have that energetic no and you are firm, they're going to catch on to that. They're going to recognize that. How do you think you've created clutter from not having strong energetic boundaries? As always, I'm super excited when we have a guest. I really want to bring you awesome people and that you're going to get a lot of benefit. I have known Mara since I first moved to North Carolina. She's a shaman. I've done some work with her and it's currently packed away when I get unpacked in the new space in the office and just get energy out for us as we're getting into the really crazy period. It will be hung back up in the office. We reconnected probably a couple years ago, right before we were getting to move. And I was planning on having her and just things with crazy and moving. And that's why I believe in just trusting the process. And I get this newsletter from her and I'm like, oh, Mara, can I have you on the podcast now? And that was great timing for her. I'm really excited. I have her first book. She's coming out with another book. And it's really great to have her on the podcast. It felt very synchronistic. And as I've been doing the plant medicine class, which I'm going to be tying up in the next few weeks, the next month or so, connecting with her again because of her shamanism and working with the plants, not in a Ayusha or whatever that kind of thing is about trying to have hallucinations or otherworldly stuff. It's just about a deeper connection with the plants. And so I was excited, like, oh, you just have to trust in timing for everything. It's now time for me to reconnect with the move, probably hopefully have another class with her at the end of the year. But that's just another bigger thing, like trust in. I have Judy saying energetic boundaries, then I get Mara's email. And I thought, I really want to have her on the show because I know I'm not alone in this and struggling still to create boundaries. I believe the more you do it, the easier it becomes. But as I mentioned a moment ago, when you say no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, or whatever it is, you want to have the energetic backing behind it. I think that is so, so important. I know you're going to love Mara and her energy, and I'm excited to introduce you to her. Mara Bishop is a shamanic practitioner, intuitive consultant, teacher, author, and artist. She has worked in the fields of intuition and shamanism since 1995. Her training includes psychology, Columbia University Teachers College, Spiritually Mind-Body Institute, shamanism, Sandra Ingerman, Michael Harner, Betsy Bergstrom, and all. Energy Medicine and Theology. Programs created by Dr. Norman Shealy, founder of the American Holistic Medical Association. Mara presents regularly at institutions such as the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill Medical Center, Duke University, and the Rhine Research Center, among other groups. She teaches workshops on shamanic journeying, intuition, and spiritual healing. Mara has also been authorized by Sandra Ingerman to teach soul retrieval, extraction, death and dying, medicine for the earth, and healing with spiritual light. Welcome, Mara.
Hi there. How are you, Julie?
Fantastic. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast because this is such a timely topic for me. And as we record this, you know, we've had all the craziness happen in the Capitol, and we're going to be talking about energetic boundaries today. But I first had a question for you. I'm on your newsletter. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I got, I'm like, oh, I've got to have her on. You use the term energy ecosystem. And I think that that's the first time that I've heard that. So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, energy ecosystem. So we are familiar with the idea of ecosystems in the natural world, using that in different contexts. So when I say energy ecosystem in referring to an individual, we're also familiar with thinking about our physical bodies, kind of the ecosystem of our physical bodies, our physical systems, our circulatory system, right? Our muscles, our skeletal system. But my kitty's here.
That's okay. You know what? We have cats. This is a laid back interview. They won't see it on the podcast. And when I've had a cat jump in my interview, people enjoy that. So all okay. Good.
So yeah, that will happen occasionally. I think we also, and probably many of your, or maybe most of your viewers are familiar with thinking about the concept that we have an energetic or spiritual body, as well as our physical body. A lot of the work that I do, or maybe most of the work that I do, is based on shamanism and some of the principles of shamanic healing, which talks about our spirit. And that when we're looking at health and the broad definition of health, we're looking to our spirits in conjunction with our physical bodies and our mental beings as the source of whether we are in balance or out of balance. So we also have this kind of energetic ecosystem. I'm using that specifically to think about our emotions, our thoughts, our boundaries, right? And that's where we get into this energetic boundary work. So many people, particularly in these intense times, as you mentioned, who are natively compassionate, naturally empathic, sensitive beings who feel a lot, tend to have kind of porous boundaries, right? We know that we have kind of our individual temperaments, right? But we also perceive a lot of other people's ecosystems, right? So we have our own individual energetic ecosystem, the way we feel, interacting with our bodies, with our minds all the time. But then when we are with another person, say, the two of us create a different ecosystem, right? Mm-hmm. Just like in the natural world, you know, a tree is its own ecosystem, but it also creates the shared ecosystem of the forest or of the birds and the insects that are engaging and relating with it. And we see in research in the natural sciences how those different beings are interacting and relating and supporting each other in different ways all the time. So we create and experience different dynamics depending on where we are, right? You have the ecosystem of your home, you have the ecosystem of your work that's made up by all the different individuals that are taking part in those systems. So it can get kind of complex, but we always want to start with that idea of we have our own ecosystem that it's our, in some ways, it's our responsibility to maintain, right? So the more we know about it, the more we understand, the more we can steward it and understand.
Fantastic. It. Yeah, that's a great description. I really want to talk about energetic boundaries. I've had some stuff happen. I've been thinking a lot about this. So first, if you have a definition of energetic boundaries, I'd love to have that. And then are energetic boundaries different from physical, mental, emotional boundaries? Are they all interrelated? How does that connect?
I think they're all interrelated. So I think one of the ways that I can illustrate the idea of boundaries, and you know, I think I'm still looking for a better word for boundaries. Boundaries sounds so
clinical.
It sounds a little clinical. It sounds a little harsh. And I think that there are a lot of people that come into the work of kind of spiritual self-defense, where it's about, how am I always putting up a shield from something else, right? It's always about protection. And delineating a boundary is really more nuanced than that, right? We are as responsible for protecting other people from our own energy as we are for managing what energy comes into our space, right? So boundaries can be clear and hard and firm. Boundaries can be permeable and porous. What's important about this work is to be intentional about it and be aware of it. Because I think what happens with a lot of people, again, particularly a lot of people who are sensitive or empathic, is that you kind of are a little bit oblivious. You come into the world with these, you know, I call them our energetic, like, personality archetypes. You just are that way, so you don't really think about it. And it involves being very porous, kind of spongy, in absorbing and feeling everything. And you don't necessarily realize that you have a choice, that you can adjust whether you want to be feeling and perceiving everything around you, or that maybe there are times where you want to set a firmer, less permeable boundary energetically, physically, just the way we do physically. So one of the analogies that I use is thinking about our boundaries the way we think about our home. Right? When you're in your home space, we close our doors, we close our windows, we have a choice. If we're going to leave our home, if we lock the door or we leave the door open, right? We don't just leave everything wide open all the time for people to come in and out at will. But a lot of us are actually doing that with our energetic bodies, right? We spend a lot of time teaching children about physical safety and giving permission, what kind of touch is okay, right? But the same holds for energetic space and emotional boundaries.
Does it start in the energetic field? And I'll give you an example. So we had to call the police regarding our neighbors. We're being harassed. And as I've been, and this happened after we had talked and about setting up the interview. And so when I was thinking about this, I thought, well, because I feel like in some ways we have physical things that we've done. And then I thought, but if maybe I or we are not setting strong energy, this has to be a clear, I love that you talk about choice, because things change, people change. We don't always want that hard line in the sand, because that's not a good thing. But like in this particular instance, because they keep pushing up against my boundaries. So then are my, for lack of a better term, weak or permeable, as you say. So would I want to strengthen the energetic? And for other people listening, if they feel they've created maybe a strong mental or emotional or physical boundary, but it's, they're not doing it energetically, is then it could be like, yeah, all that work, it's kind of pointless. Is that making sense?
Right. Absolutely. They all work together, right? So this is not kind of a magical thinking concept where, you know what, if I just believe that I have this, you know, bubble around myself, then nothing can harm me, but I'm not going to take any practical steps.
Right.
That I don't, that's not how I work. I'm practical, but I also think that there's tremendous power in our intention and our, even in our imagination and in visualizing. I mean, there's all sorts of research out there that shows when we use our mind, our intention, and our imagination to visualize things about our body. You look at sports, athletes who run through their, whatever their routine is before they do it, are able to perform better. There are some exercises that I do in my energy ecosystem class where people are sitting there and they're purely using their imagination, but they get a physiological response in their bodies. And so it's kind of a layering of when you need to set a boundary, such as your example with your neighbor, You want to take practical steps. You want to take energetic, cognitive, emotional steps, right? All of those things layer up together. And, you know, for many people, the first step is thinking about their own energetic personality, their kind of native way of engaging themselves and the world and other people, and understanding what their typical reactions and reflexes are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're very different. You know, some people walk into a room and they are, I mean, just like the classic introvert extrovert dichotomy. Energetically, people who are extroverted or have a certain personality type, they come in and their energy's big and it takes up space. You know, they walk into a party and they're the center of the room and they place themselves there. Other people are going to have a different temperament energetically and personality wise, where they hold their energy in a more contained way. And there are all sorts of misunderstandings that happen between people of those two types because the energy is received differently, right? To a person who is reserved or who is holding their energy close, that big energy can feel very overwhelming, very mm-hmm. dominant, very kind of oppressive and off-putting. The inverse, you know, people who are introverted always get these labels like you're being aloof or shy mm-hmm. or cold. And it we get into these kind of, again, misunderstandings in relationships where it's just, we're different. But if we start to understand how each person is just in their natural state, we don't take it personally.
Right.
Right. So we can be better in managing our relationships when we understand ourselves, right? What we bring.
One of the things I'm doing is I visualize a big magnet mm-hmm. above my head and I ask to call my energy back mm-hmm. from where it shouldn't be. It's like, mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, engage with these people. I'm mentally checked out. We're physically mm-hmm. getting checked out, hopefully sooner rather than later. And so every day, okay, like visualize all your energy coming back to me. And so I don't know if that's something that you recommend. Is that keeping your energy closer, setting a better boundary? And then mm-hmm. if you open it up, that makes you a little more permeable. So maybe like if you're checking out a situation, you're like, I don't know, but I want to open up a little.
Well, there are a couple of things about that are really important. That idea of going outside your body is, I mean, this may be a little too extreme, so I'm not saying this is in your case, right? But that can be kind of a trauma response, right? It's an overwhelm. So it's a little bit of a survival. This is, and it can be a spectrum from just a, oh, this is too much. I don't want to deal with this. I'm going to, whoo, to a serious trauma response. And in the shamanic world, this is one of the areas where we can become really imbalanced and we want to do a certain kind of, remedy for that to help bring somebody's spirit back into their body. But it does two things, right? On the one hand, it helps us kind of, we think it's helping us survive that situation, right? Mm-hmm. Again, survive meaning just like, oh, I can't handle this dinner. I don't want to pay attention, to like survive something very serious. Right. But it's a bit of a double whammy, which is you're not present to really perceive what's going on and react accordingly. So one of the things that we want to do when we're paying attention to getting a better sense of our own energetic boundaries and how we want to adjust them, you know, a lot of people, as I said, feel like they're wide open and that's how they've got to stay. We don't want to do the flip side either. We don't want to have this kind of snapback response, which is I'm impermeable, I'm oblivious.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm shut down and I'm disconnected, which is what happens when people get burned out. So I've got a course coming up that I'm about to record for Sounds True, which is really about this whole idea of burnout. How do we stay present and use all of the receptors that we have and all of our sensitivities, but not get so overwhelmed that we burn out? Because what happens when we burn out is we kind of go to the opposite extreme. So when we check out in the way that you're describing, is we lose our ability to know, how do we react appropriately in this situation? Is this an instance where we really need to leave, that our best recourse is to get out, or our best recourse is to react, or our best recourse is to just say, oh, I'm going to kind of create a more protective screen. I'm going to make my energetic perimeter less permeable. And those are some of the tools that we have in the energy ecosystem classes. When you want to be less permeable, but still present, what do?
Do you wonder about your chakras? Does the energy around you feel stuck, stagnant, or negative? How well are you aware of your intuition and follow its guidance? Have you found yourself taking on other people's feelings, emotions, and more? Ready to clear energetic clutter and have your space, home, mind, and heart feel good? Got Clutter 365 Journal Prompt Energetic supports you in clearing your energy clutter. Free gift with purchase, available at reawakenyourbrilliance.com, Amazon, Google Books, and more. I think that's a great point. And being overwhelmed, because this whole podcast, if you have clutter in your life, most of the time you're overwhelmed. And just as a side note, I've worked with Mara. We've done a soul retrieval and worked on some trauma. And it was a thank you for mentioning that, because I've been able to be present to say to my husband, this is what this is bringing up for me. When the neighbors do that, it brings up times in my life where I've felt unsafe and felt like I haven't been able to protect myself. Now, there are about 5,000 other things going on. This is the thing that's making us move. But, you know, I also believe that the energy of this place feels like a concrete block, like there's no room for openness, growth, and we're vibing out of it. Now, I can step back in this short time and say, you were meant to be here for blah, 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 and it's going to be easier when you move out of state. So I'm really aware of that, but I think I appreciate you bringing that up, because about being present and not having that knee-jerk reaction. But for me, it's been really important to have boundaries, because I know what it's bringing up. But that's, thank you for pointing that out, because that's really important.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what you described is having this discernment of, do I stay in the situation? Do I leave the situation? Is really important, because another thing that we want to really be able to determine is, how do we strengthen our ability to withstand situations that are difficult? There's another kind of trend out there, which is, oh, that person's toxic, I'm going to cut them out of my life. Oh, that situation's toxic, I'm going to get out of it. And sometimes that's true, and that is the best recourse. But just like with our physical immune system, so I talk about the energetic immune system. With our physical immune system, and again, there's research that shows this, the best recourse is not to make your environment so pristine that your immune system isn't challenged. The best recourse is to strengthen your body's ability to handle substances that are triggering, right? So you don't want to make everything sterile. You know, when there's a virus or a bacteria or something that's a little bit dirty, we want to be able to respond to it appropriately and not have an allergic response or an autoimmune response or a outblown. Right?
When one of my nieces was in grade school, she was bullied, and the principal was a rock star, because she said, we also have to deal with your niece getting confidence and being able to stand, we'll deal with the bullying, but we have to look at this from every angle. And I thought, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Right. How to think that. And as you're talking, I'm always amazed at everything in life is a balance. But when I see these things, content warning, trigger warnings, yes, I get that. And I worry about, when I hear about these safe spaces in college, what's going to happen when you get out into the real world? Because I can tell you, my guess would be 90%, and that might be too low, or be like, what are you talking about? Go do your job, or you're fired. Do you know what I mean? That people just aren't And I'm all about healing and all about moving forward. But I love this. This is an aha moment for me because I think that's so important because you have to deal with it. I mean, you don't have to do anything. You always are going to choose what you're going to do. But this is what this podcast is about, clearing your clutter. Right. And part of that's healing. And this whole month is about growing into more of who you're meant to be. And the next episode is about how do we deal with the bad and the ugly, right? Because we have to, we hope to. But I love that analogy with the immune system. That's very powerful.
Yeah. It's a balance, right? We want to be resilient. That's ultimately what we want to do. So we want to figure out how do we differentiate ourselves and our own reactions and our own energetic beings and our own native temperaments and ways of responding to the world from what is external to us, right? As much as we can, because everything is always interrelated, right? We're part of the web. So on the one hand, that's kind of artificial, but that is where we start in the energy ecosystem class, is as much as possible understanding where are you in your baseline space, so that when you introduce another person or a different environment or some kind of interaction, you can understand the difference. And then you can use some tools to bring yourself back to that baseline. Because the goal is to be resilient. The goal is to be able to deal with whatever situation comes up in your life. Again, whether the decision is to leave completely, work on a relationship.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everything, you know, my mother getting sick and everything, that's a large part of us moving back to West Virginia. And I had hope, momentary glimmers of hope, when enough people were going to join together in the neighborhood. And then that didn't happen. It's like, I can't write the Titanic.
Right.
You know, and that's not my karma. I'm really clear on why we were here and why we're leaving and all that. Is there a short maybe exercise or an example, you know, I use with the big magnet ahead, maybe that you could share with people that maybe something that would be a useful tool. No worries if you can't. I know.
Yeah, well, there are tons of useful tools. And I'm trying to think of, you know, the baseline I always come back to is coming back into your own space and your own light and working out from there with the practical decisions and boundaries that you're going to set from there. So going back to filling with your own light. So I think that the putting yourself in a cocoon, putting yourself in a bubble, like those classic self-protection measures are good. But how we balance that with strengthening from the inside. So again, I think my approach is a little bit, it goes to the same as the building up your energetic immune system rather than putting on, it's a combination. And I do work with this idea of kind of an energetic wardrobe, dressing for the weather. So I think I would start with envisioning yourself filled with your own light, not even calling on light, but, and again, use your imagination, but filling from the inside out. I think more than anything else, if we can strengthen from the inside and be so full of our own energy, there's no spaces left for something else to come in that isn't ours.
I love that. So that would be help us set an energetic boundary, but also boost our energetic immune system, right?
Right.
It's kind of a twofer.
Absolutely. That would be the start. From whatever we're doing. And then, yes, then we layer on a different, having different kinds of tools to strengthen from the outside. But I think that is the starting point, is to really feel that sense of our inner light being full. That whole idea of nature, not tolerating a vacuum, right? We don't want to have a vacuum in there. We want to be full from the inside out. We want to have a strong immune system. And then practically not confusing compassion and being a spiritual person with being unable to set firm practical boundaries. This happens over and over again to kind people who are in abusive or abusive and other kinds of really difficult situations. You can be a kind, compassionate, loving person and say, I am not going to interact with you anymore. And there are consequences for the actions that you've taken to another person. It doesn't mean you're not spiritual. It doesn't mean that you can't have compassion and love for another human being and also say, no more. That's okay. I think people have a very hard time with that, and it's important.
I was interviewed last night from a nice gentleman in Australia, and he brought that up, and he's like, well, can you say no? And I said, absolutely. And I said, it doesn't make you less than. And if it's someone you can love, you can say, I need a break from you right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I took social media drives me nuts. I'd like to go back. If I didn't have a business, I'd be off social media. So about, this was at the end of October, someone who I've known since grade school just went all the time. I'm like, you haven't posted on my wall for years. I never talked to you. So now you're bringing all your anger. Oh, and so next day I posted and I said, I'm going to take a break from Facebook. And I said, because when someone just brings all their hatred and anger and focuses it on me, and one, I said, they obviously are in a place of pain, mm-hmm. that they need to feel the need to feel to do this. And then two, I can muster no compassion for right. this person in this moment. And I said, I don't want to be in that space.
Right.
So what that's telling me is it is time to get off of social media and I'm mm-hmm. going to be taking a break. Now, as we raise our vibration, people either join us or they go away. And he and his mm-hmm. wife unfriended me. I'm like, bye. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, I don't even want that. Ugh, I just don't. And again, saying like, I can say, I understand that you need to heal and I'm going to have a strong boundary. Now right. in that situation, I have to tell you, I loved it. I was off like 6 weeks and boy, did it make a difference. And the next day I got an email from someone and it was just kind of reaffirming that. But I thought, what is it that I need to do? And I've started to unfollow or unfriend you. I don't want that. And mm-hmm. I'm not, you're right. I'm a spiritual person. And mm-hmm. I can have a boundary. So I'm really excited that you mentioned that because I think that's yeah. so important. And I think especially those of us that have huge hearts and then feel guilty. Oh, right. I can't do this.
Right. And it doesn't mean that you're better than anyone.
Right. Exactly.
Right. It doesn't have to be from this place of, oh, okay, I am more elevated than you. And that's not what you're saying, but like we can all be in our own places. But I do think sometimes, you know, as you're, I think you mentioned your gentleman from Australia, can I say no? We are our own caretakers, first and foremost. So I don't think that means that we have to place ourselves above anyone else in any way, but we are ultimately responsible for ourselves and our well-being. So I think we are not, we are out of balance if we also place ourselves below other people
yes.
and allow other people to abuse us. And so, yeah, so part of that goes to what we were talking about in the beginning of how do we align our actions, our words, our thoughts, our energy all together to create health and balance in our individual ecosystems and then in our relationships too, right? That goes to having balance in a relationship.
Now you had mentioned energetic archetypes. Can yeah. you just tell us a little bit about that, what you mean, or maybe give an example of
yeah,
what that
sure.
would look like?
Yeah. So I think probably, again, because my biggest inspiration is the natural world and, you know, animals and plants. Those are the things that I love and get my joy from. And also because of the shamanic influence, most of the energetic personality archetypes that I use are inspired by animals. I don't think that we are one thing, right? And this is different from a power animal.
Okay.
That's okay. It's a different thing. But it's kind of, there are ways that we can think of our personality traits. And like all archetypes or traits, there's kind of the light and the shadow, right? They've got positive and negative. So one example would be the chameleon, right? And so people who have the chameleon archetype are very adaptable to the different situations that they're in. they can change very quickly, right? So people come to me and describe how they find that their personality, sometimes even the way they speak, the things they like to do, change, whether they're with one partner or another, whether they're at work or at home, whether they're with their friends or their family. And it's a great, particularly with work, it can be a great survival skill, right? Mm-hmm. It's a success trait. You understand in that meeting what everybody wants and needs, right? You move into this friend group and you know what everybody's doing. You like pick up the lingo, right? Mm-hmm. It works. However, the other way that this is a survival skill, and a lot of people who have this archetype have childhoods that are unpredictable and sometimes mm-hmm. not that safe. So if you grow up in a family with an alcoholic or an abusive parent, you need to read that. You need to be quick, right? You need to know, is this where I need to blend into the background and be invisible because that mm-hmm. person might be violent when they're coming home? Or is this the moment where I need to do something else? But you need to change, right? You need to be very attuned to what's happening around you and adjust for your own safety. The problem is, if you are so used to cycling through different, changing your colors, right? Mm-hmm. It's very easy to lose your core being. So that when you have the opportunity to like, what do I want for dinner? What do I really care about doing? Who am mm-hmm. I? Sometimes you've lost it. And it takes tremendous energy then to come back. You don't know. Another one is the puppy. Right? Like we all love puppies. They're great. Yeah. You know, they're adorable. They're fun. They're loving. They're loyal. The flip side or the challenge, if you have some of that puppy archetype, is you tend to maybe come back to people who are not that good for you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Puppies tend to just, you know, they're just going to keep coming back. They're going to forgive. Right. They're going to roll over and show their tender little bellies.
Yeah.
Even though sometimes it's not that good for them. They might not be great at self-regulation.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of how we work with them. And in the energy ecosystem course, we go through a bunch of those different archetypes, and you can see where you might have, you know, you might have a dominant one, or you might have four or five or two or three that really jump out at you. And you see how those may be at work in your relationships. And, you know, if you've got somebody in your life who's a bull and somebody in your life who's this, and you see how those dynamics come together, it may be able to help you figure out how to create a healthier dynamic in that relationship.
Great. That's a wonderful, wonderful way to describe it. I'm definitely neither of those. I know I have something, but definitely not the cute puppy. Although I just have to tell you, this popped in my head. I didn't even think of it. So we had to put Athena down, who was a tabby. Aww. So I just feel like your little tabby there, who Aww. Looks like Athena, is kind of a way of Athena saying, hi, mom,
Aww,
I'm still around you. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, this is Luna, by the way.
She's adorable.
She's a sweet girl and she's a very healing kitty. She comes sometimes when I've done Reiki classes and she will hop up on the person getting treatment and I do her a little... Yeah, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. I completely believe that animals definitely help us heal. Do you have any thoughts? We've talked about bringing the light within, and if there's anything to clear when someone comes into our space to clear the energy.
I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. So when we have come
your energy is somebody in my else, space,
and then we feel like we're holding their energy.
No, meaning like here's the example I would use. So politicians are a great example. You know, the slime factor's there big time, even if you on most of them, even if you don't believe in it, you can be like, oh man, I just met a politician. I want to go take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were in a situation like that, what could someone do? I don't know if there's anything that you'd recommend.
Oh, absolutely. And that, in the energy ecosystem class, I talk about the series of trainings. I talk about the three phases. So the clearing is the third phase. And to do that regularly is important. Again, I mean, I keep coming back to this parallel with the physical, our physical bodies, our energetic bodies. And we take showers or baths on a pretty, most of us, hopefully, on a pretty regular basis. So what you brought up about, I want to take a shower, is actually a great analogy as far as energetic cleansing as well. And one of the things that I try and do for people to make spiritual practice and energetic cleansing easier is to pair the energetic practice with a physical thing that you're already doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're all so busy and we're trying to do so many things. So it makes it easier, right? You're not having to add multiple things. So when you're in the shower, you're already there. You already have got the water coming down on you. So add in your intention and your visualization that while your body is getting physically cleansed and the grunge of the day is washing, or the whenever you do it, is getting washed off you, that anything that's energetic that isn't yours or that doesn't serve you, whatever way, however you want to phrase that, in a positive, right, mm-hmm. is washed away. And then with one important caveat, we don't want to use the natural environment as our dumping ground, right? So we don't want to say, I'm throwing all my crap into the earth, or I'm just letting all of my dirt go down into the water system. We want to transmute it somehow. So if we could add that added intention of what doesn't belong to me is washing off of me, but as it moves down into the drain or as it comes off of me, it's transmuted into, again, fill in the blank, light or sparkling energy, or it's just neutralized, or it's bubbles, or just something, however, whatever phrase feels right to you, that we add the intention that as it comes off of you, it's neutralized in some way.
Right? Yeah. Thank you for adding that. That's really mm-hmm. important. And I have to give a shout out to my first ever teachers, because they taught me that ages ago. So yeah. I think that's a really important point. As we begin to wrap up, any mm-hmm. other take actions or anything that you want to suggest to people? You've given us a couple of things to do or anything to remember, or if there's something I haven't touched on, that you're like, hey, wait, I got to share this.
The thing that I would say, honestly, is be in nature. If there's one recommendation that I could give to people as an action item for our health and well-being as individuals and as a society, is put yourself in the natural world. Engage, whether that is sitting and looking out the window at the birds, if that's as, you know, works for you and that's as close as you can be, if it's going outside and feeling the air on your face and taking a hike, you know, from the, if it is envisioning it in your mind, picturing your ideal, beautiful scene in nature and feeling all the elements. From the wilderness experience to the completely imaginary experience of nature, do that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, I'll give you an opportunity. We will put links in the show notes and on YouTube. How can people Great. Find out about you? And I know, I think at the end of this, in March, you have a book coming out. So
I do.
Whatever you want to with everyone.
See,
a little closer. Okay, now pull it up. There we go. Perfect.
There we go.
So it's 365 journeys.
Yeah, Shamanism for Every Day. This is the advanced copy coming out. So this is it's a daily guide for shamanic journeying, but it can be used for meditation or prayer or contemplation. So it's got journeying instruction and kind of a background of shamanism in the beginning. And then, as the title implies, 365 prompts for journeys that you can take on your own every day with some instruction, and then also some ideas for taking the practice deeper and ceremonies that go along with the moon phases and some more information. So that does come out at the end of March. And wholespirit.com is my website, and you can find out more there about classes. I think this show will come out after my next energy ecosystem class, but I do run those periodically.
It will. Well, once I'm settled and normal again, when I saw that, I was like, I need to take this, but I was like, too much going on now.
That's right now. Yeah. It'll be coming out. And then, as I said, the audio version is should be out next year. We're going to record it in June. So
fantastic.
When you're ready.
Well, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Julie. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
On our next episode, we're talking about the bad and the ugly. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. You've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out. Please rate, review, and share us.